Good morning. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. Hot on the heels of Wednesday night's debate, changing the tone of the presidential campaign, comes this morning's monthly jobs report. The headline number is that the economy created 114,000 jobs in September. That's about what economists were expecting. Let's talk about the numbers and what they mean for American workers in the presidential race with Sudeep Reddy, economics reporter for The Wall Street Journal. Hi, Sudeep. Thanks for coming on WNYC.
Hi, Andrea. Good to be here.
So quite a kind of psychological barrier, huh, past the 8% mark?
It certainly is. This actually brings the unemployment rate back down to where it was in January 2009 when President Obama took office. And so that's a big plus for him. We've seen over the last 2 or 3 years some fairly disappointing numbers in the other report. This is actually two reports that come out on the first Friday of the month. One is the payroll number that looks at payrolls based on account of businesses and how many jobs they have, and the other is a survey of households. And so the survey of households showed a huge jump in the number of people who were employed. A lot of them were for part-time workers, but that's what brought the unemployment rate from 8.1% down to 7.8%. The payroll numbers look about as mediocre as they've been for the last couple of years, kind of the same trend showing us treading water in the labor market. And that's not really a great sign because it shows that we're not making the kind of progress we need.
Okay, so explain that, because we've got these two sets. We've got the unemployment rate. We've got the jobs created. Mitt Romney's already making hay out of what he's calling disappointing numbers of jobs created. How can the country be passing this sort of 8% barrier at the same time that, as you describe it, a sort of lackluster number of jobs?
It's a great question. A lot of this has to do with just the way these numbers are counted. You've got 130 million people in the labor market on payrolls. Once you're when you're calculating the monthly change, which could be 100,000 a month, sometimes 200,000 or 300,000 a month, it's very hard to actually come up with something that gets spot on where we are. And that's why you look at the trends in the numbers rather than just a monthly figure. And the trends are showing that when you look at the payroll count, which most people consider to be the most reliable count of the labor market, the payroll count is showing that we're basically running just along what you need to keep up with growth in the labor force, in the number of people coming into the job market. It's about 100,000 a month. We're seeing something just north of that right now. And that shows that we really haven't made that much progress on that measure. It's obviously not where we were during the depths of the crisis, losing hundreds of thousands of jobs a month, but we're not really growing at the pace you need to pull in all those people who are sitting on the sidelines unemployed. The other report is a household survey where the Labor Department goes out and actually just asks households whether they're employed, whether the people in the households are employed, and that is showing that tends to be a lot more.
I think that we have lost Sudeep Reddy, so I'm just going to recap while we try to get him back. Today's jobs numbers are out, and the 114,000 jobs created in September, also big psychological barrier crossed. Unemployment now at 7.8%, where it was the day Obama was inaugurated from president. Already seeing some reaction from the presidential campaigns. Mitt Romney saying that what people should be focusing on are the number of jobs, and the Obama administration saying 23 straight months of economic recovery. Sudeep Reddy is back with us. Hello. Sorry about that, Sudeep.
No problem.
So I know there's been some reporting, including I'm pretty sure by you, on the fiscal cliff and how the automatic cuts that are supposed to begin in January have caused a lot of employers to maybe not add as many jobs as they might would have. Are today's numbers reflecting that?
We don't really see that yet in these numbers, and there isn't a great way to measure how employers feel about conditions out there right now. There are measures of business confidence, and if you whether you look at the measures of big corporate CEOs or you look at the measures of small businesses, they're not great. It's actually kind of interesting how the measure of individuals, the consumer confidence index, a lot of the ways most regular people are accounted for when you look at consumer confidence, that's actually been improving in a surprising way. It's partly due to the stock market rising. It's partly due to gas prices dropping a little bit in recent weeks. So that's going up, but business confidence isn't great right now, and you're starting to see signs of businesses holding back on investment, holding back on the things that would create jobs, and that's a worrying bit of early evidence when you realize that we're still about 3 months away from going over the fiscal cliff. And that means once the fiscal cliff hits, you have a series of tax hikes and spending cuts that all start taking effect at the start of 2013. And if sustained, and if Congress and the White House do nothing about it, then it is sure to throw us into a recession in early 2013, and it's sure to push the stock market down and reverse a lot of the gains we've had.
I know that there was some reporting this morning. I saw the New York Times story on The Economy where they were interviewing some shoppers at a Walmart who said, we're buying little indulgences like scented candles. Does that kind of thing help the economy, or is it just too tiny to register?
It's a good sign when people are acknowledging that they're actually going out and buying things they don't necessarily need. I remember going out and talking to shoppers back in late 08 and early 09 about their habits, and it was very clear that people were not only cutting indulgences, but they were really cutting some of the core things. People who choose to eat in all the time instead of going out, people who cancel vacations, people who go with cheaper Christmas presents, all of those things, the cumulative effect has a big impact on the economy. And right now, seeing people pick up a little bit is a good sign, but once we get closer to the end of the year and you see some of the chatter about the fiscal cliff, it's probably going to hurt confidence and might lead people to pull back a little bit more. And overall, if you look at the broader economy, the reason we care so much about these jobs numbers is if people are getting hired, that means employers are doing better, that means businesses are doing better, and they're going to, over the longer run, start improving wages for their workers so people actually have wage growth so they can go and spend money in the economy. And we're still several steps behind of seeing that broad-based improvement in the economy from the vast majority of people out there.
So the future that you outline, I guess we sort of have to put an asterisk unless they come to a deal on the fiscal cliff. But we can save that conversation for another day. Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehr. I'm talking with Sudeep Reddy, economics reporter for The Wall Street Journal, about the reports today out from the Labor Department about the jobs created and the unemployment rate. Now, in terms of the presidential candidates' reactions, the Romney campaign saying this is not a report that signifies a healthy economy. When you look at the number of jobs created, those numbers are going down, the Romney campaign says, if you look on a month-by-month basis. The Obama camp saying, look, this is the 23rd straight month of recovery. Parse those answers. Which one makes sense, if either one?
I think if you were to ask, if you were to get in the heads of people in the Obama administration, they would probably acknowledge that the job gains we've seen have been somewhat disappointing. They had hoped for a lot more. They hoped that by this point we'd be well into a strong recovery in a way that we have been coming out of prior deep recessions. This one is, of course, different because of the financial crisis, and that creates a drag that can last several years. But for the Obama camp, what they are trying to portray this as, because now that we've come back to an unemployment rate where it was when they came into office, it's trying to create this story that the first term of the Obama administration was really about repairing the damage from the financial crisis, trying to bring us back in a way to where we started. That's not a great achievement when you are looking for some substantial progress, but at least we're not dropping anymore. And that sets up President Obama to make the case that a second term will be for the growth and expansion. Now, the Republicans have an argument that is somewhat strong as well, that you should have expected a lot more growth. You should have expected job creation to be a lot stronger at this point. And that really comes down to whether you think government policies are holding us back, whether you think all this uncertainty, whether it's about the budget or the fiscal cliff or the debt ceiling or regulation or the expansion of healthcare, whether all of that is holding us back as a country. And there's no great way to measure that. So a lot of this comes down to what people believe in their own opinion about the size and shape of government and what role government should have. And that's why it's understandable that they're both trying to play this a set of numbers that could be read either way if you want to pluck specifics out of it. And they're obviously trying to pick certain ones to make their case.
How much do you think that the sort of dipping below 8% helps the president?
It probably helps him a lot, because there's been this barrage of criticism from Republicans about a prediction that was made early in the Obama administration that without the big $800 billion economic stimulus, the unemployment rate would go above 8%. Obviously, it went above 10% during the recession, and that was a big blunder when it comes to economic forecasting. What it turned out is that the Obama administration coming into office didn't realize how severe the financial crisis was and how much damage it would do, and so they had their economic projections wrong. But month after month, we've been hearing from Republicans bringing up this point that the unemployment rate is still above 8%. It's kind of a sign of failure for the administration that they weren't able to get it below 8%, and now it is below 8%. A lot of people, of course, aren't going to believe that this is going to stick below 8%, because it's extremely rare to see the unemployment rate drop half a percentage point in 2 months as it has. So there are going to be some doubts about this for sure, but it is a significant boost for the Obama story that we are making some progress. But it also shows for the Romney camp that we're still not making enough progress, and we're not moving quickly enough given the number of people on the sidelines looking for work.
Now, I was spending some time looking at the swing state unemployment levels, and of course in Ohio they've already been below 8% for a while. They're in the sevens. I guess we're not going to know for another couple weeks because there's a lag. But one of the interesting things is that the swing state unemployment numbers are kind of outpacing the country. So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about that and sort of, you know, what, because obviously the national rate, well, an important narrative for the president, is not sort of a specific reality that the voters that matter are necessarily living with. They're living with their unemployment rate and their job numbers.
Exactly. And people are going to look to the conditions in their own states when they're making these decisions. Ohio is a good example of what happened with some of the Obama administration policies on the auto industry, and trying to save the auto industry has helped. And manufacturing, of course, bounced back during the early stages of this recovery and helped the big manufacturing states recover to a very meaningful extent. Right now, though, you're actually seeing manufacturing struggle a bit more, and we may have run that cycle partly because trouble abroad is slowing our exports. You saw manufacturing in this latest report for September actually shed 16,000 jobs, so the second straight month of job losses in that sector. But overall, for people in Ohio, they're probably feeling better about the state of the economy. If you look to some of the states that have struggled with the housing market, such as Florida, that's one reason you look at Florida, because Florida is among a handful, like Arizona, Nevada, California, that had huge run-ups and huge pullbacks in the housing market, and they're feeling the pain of it, and are probably going to feel the pain of it for years to come. And so you want to...
But on the other hand, if you look at those states, Florida, Nevada, I mean, the unemployment and job numbers are bad, but they're not as bad as they were, right?
Exactly.
I mean, they're falling.
Right, exactly. That's the case that the incumbent President Obama has to make in these areas, that you're on an improving trend. The question everybody is really judging in this election is the improvement fast enough, and can somebody do better? And it's very hard to make a judgment on something like that, because history tells us that coming out of a financial crisis, because households are cutting back on their debt, because banks were burned before and are going to be tighter in making loans, it's going to be harder to see an economy recover. And so you have to kind of make your own estimation of whether the improvement is going to be sustainable kind of at the same pace that you've seen going along so far.
Do you know if there's a historical precedent for, I think that unemployment in Nevada, for example, was up above 15% at some point, and now it's, what, around 11? So I don't know if you know if there's a historical precedent for that kind of a drop, whether if you're living in Las Vegas or in Henderson County, Nevada, and you're experiencing an 11% unemployment rate, obviously very steep, but trending better, sort of where that directs people to feel. Do we have any data on that?
We, when you actually look back to prior recessions, if you look back to the one in the early 1980s, that was extremely deep. It really took some significant cuts in employment. That was partly given the crisis around oil prices, the big surge in inflation. You had employers cutting jobs pretty quickly early in that recession, and once you got out of it, once the Federal Reserve brought inflation under control, and once businesses got some more confidence, you had a pretty quick bounce back in the economy. That was a very different case because it had a lot to do with policy and Fed policy and pulling an economy back out. But you can see sharp rebounds in employment coming out of a crisis, and that is a good case that comes up a lot. This is a very different case right now, and the most recent recession will probably exact some damage for another 4 or 5 years in a lot of states if we continue on this trend of improvement. And so it's hard to actually make the case that all of these states should have had a big bounce back. But when you drop so substantially early in a recession, the chances are greater that you're going to have a bounce back once you see stabilization.
Now, is this the last report before the presidential election, or is there one more the Friday before the vote?
We actually get one more the Friday, a month from now, the Friday before Election Day. And it's an interesting question whether people have already formed their opinions. It's still hard for me to understand why anyone is undecided in this election after everything.
Well, not that many people are, right?
Right, exactly. But there are people who are undecided, and I'm not quite sure that any of this employment data is going to change their view of the economy. People tend to do a gut check when it comes to the economy and make their own estimation. But there's a lot that could happen over the course of the next 33 days. And so there's a lot of risks on the horizon. Even apart from the fiscal cliff, there's the trouble in Europe and all the new turmoil in the Middle East that could in some way change how people feel about the economy and the labor market. But I think most people...
And we'll be talking about that in a minute, the turmoil in the Middle East. But you want to get your crystal ball before we go? And what do you think is going to happen in November? Any ideas?
Well, with the November jobs report, I think we'll actually see some pullback from where we were, but the trends don't really change from where we are right now. So barring some big news event between now and Election Day, it pretty much seems like what we have right now is what we're going to see, and that's not necessarily great news for Mitt Romney.
All right. The table is set. Thanks so much, Sudeep Reddy, economics reporter for The Wall Street Journal. It's been great talking to you.
Thanks a lot.
Andrea Bernstein in for Brian Lehrer. When we come back, we'll talk about the economy and the currency in Iran.